Caroline, Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. And we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck will join us here in just a few moments. Also, appreciate Trevor Maddich for joining us in the last hour. So Trevor Maddich and D. Mace kind of discussed their respective perspectives on the Treylon Burks situation. Obviously, Trevor Maddich was out at practice a couple of weeks ago, said that he would have cut Treylon Burks for his effort in practice. So if you missed that, you can find that on your preferred podcast platform, Caroline Willie D. Mace on Spotify, whatever. We're on YouTube as well. So be sure to catch that if you missed that. Joining us now is ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate your time today. The Titans wrapped up the offseason period with the OTAs yesterday, had mandatory mini camp last week, so they're off until training camp until mid to late July. In the offseason period with the OTAs and mini camp, understanding that things are new, especially now with a new coaching staff, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator, a lot of new pieces on this squad, how much do you feel like you can get out of OTAs and minicamp, and what do you look for in this period now that we've officially entered the offseason?
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing you look for through those periods is, like, it's all new, right? So who's picking it up? You know, there's probably some familiarity for some players where they maybe been in the system before, maybe they get it quicker than others. You know, you see your young guys, how quickly have they picked it up? So I think that's the thing is, you know, they're typically your first three installs. A lot of times, especially, you know, people with West Coast background, because it's the way it's always been done, you know, the three-day mini camp install, that's also the first 3 days of training camp's install. And so you kind of have a basis of knowledge of where you think your team is and their understanding of it. And then, you know, for guys that were behind, look, they had a chance to try to get caught up on some of the stuff. So, you know, I think that's what it really does. And then it also, you know, I think you can find yourself in environments where, you know, somebody was impressive, you know, through, you know, training camp. Or, you know, somebody was like, you know, we drafted this guy, we thought he was something, and he's maybe not that. And so, you know, I think that's kind of, the thermometer, if you will, just kind of the barometer, I guess I should say, is like where your team is at that moment. And I think that's where it's helpful because it gives you a sense of, you know, where your kind of jumping off point is once you get to training camp.
A couple of names that have been on the report of not on the field, whether it was OTAs or minicamp, T'Vondre Sweat, the Titans' second-round pick, 38th overall pick out of Texas, and Nicholas Petit-Frere, who I think we all view as the leader in the clubhouse to take that starting right tackle position. Neither of them were on the field in minicamp or OTAs. What would be your concern level for those two guys not able to be out on the field? Brian Callahan saying that T'Vondre Sweat dealing with a minor injury.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the number one thing is, like, you're not getting coached, right? And so there's, whether it's an injury, like that right there, like guys are injured, and so you're dealing with that. And then I think the other aspect of it is, look, you're not getting coached, which is what those guys need to be doing, you know, especially if it's going to be slightly different than things that they've done in the past. So, you know, that for me would be, you know, kind of the number one concern that I would have about guys that are I don't know that you're expecting a lot of, to your point, right? Like, you're expecting guys to be a starter, guys to play at a high level. And so whether they're talking injuries before we're ever in pads, or whether it's, you know, not, you know, a full understanding of being coached in the system, like, those would be things that, you know, I think you at least probably start to have a discussion about, are there veteran players that have been in the system that we feel like we could count on?
We're talking with Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst and head coach of the Innsworth Tigers. Now, Tim, this is more of a, I guess, more of a philosophical question for you in regards to building a team. You've spoken with a lot of GMs and coaches, especially in today's football. Is it better to try to build your defense up first, considering and I'm talking relative to the Tennessee Titans because, you know, they got a lot of building and rebuilding to do with their roster. But is it better when you're facing these teams that have these, you know, these awesome and great quarterbacks, or these offenses that are sort of high gear offenses, is it better to build your team to try to outscore them, or is it better to build your team to stop them? And once you build it to stop them, then you try to build the other areas around them. I know you need your quarterback. I understand that part. But it seems like, you know, if you try to outscore a team, that may not work, because a lot of teams have been trying to put together their roster to outscore Kansas City, and it still hadn't worked.
Yeah, I mean, I think this. I think that in all my time, I've been an analyst, you know, for 16 years now. The thing that I would say is that we probably all tend to focus too much on offenses. Like, I just know that I'm guilty of it, where, like, I'm like, hey, which team's better? Like, you know, I choose the team that I think got the better offense. And, you know, you kind of find yourself in an environment where you just, it's just what we do. We favor quarterbacks, we favor offense and all of that. But you can compete with a good defense, because offensively, like, yeah, while you have to score points, you also have the ability to, like, you know, like, look, you can play slow. You can slow things down. If you have a defense, you're limiting possessions, and, you know, you have a chance to be in it, right? And so I definitely believe that, yes, you need the quarterback. Yes, you need to score points to win. But at the same time, like, if you have a really good defense, you can be competitive, because you can change how you play on offense to at least give yourself a chance in the fourth quarter. So I say all that to say that, like, you know, I think that the teams have done that. Like, I feel like I've seen teams do that. I feel like, you know, it's not the most exciting brand of football, but it keeps you in it. What you can't be successful doing, I don't think, is if you can't stop anybody. Like, if you can't get off the field on third down, if you can't stop people from running the football, then I don't care how good your offense is. You're just going to find yourself where, like, the ball doesn't bounce your way. And, you know, next thing you know, like, you know, death by paper cut because they're running the ball down your throat or something like that. So,
Tim, I hate to cut you off here, but your phone is sounding a little bit funky. So we're going to hang up, call back, and hopefully to workshop your phone situation here. So we'll call you back here in just a moment. All right, there you go. That was a little bit of a relief there, not hearing that ticking sound.
It was like, is there tapping the phone? We got the government, the boys tapping the phone?
At first it sounded like birds were chirping.
Boys. Yeah. The boys tapping the phone? What y'all doing?
There's going on a three-way call.
What y'all doing? I mean, what y'all doing? I mean, come on now. Y'all doing something illegal, Nick? What you doing? What you doing when you leave this place?
So we'll get Tim on here in just
don't
a second.
Don't blame me, Denise. Come on now. Yeah, it kind of sounds like my AirPods after they went through the wash there. Just, yeah. You know, you get that feedback. Like, turn it up, man. Let's hear it. And static. Like, oh, I got to get some new AirPods.
Do we have Tim back?
All right. I'm
there
back.
We go.
Much better.
You got me?
Yep, that's much better.
This is so much better.
I'm back. I'm literally like the same spot I've been in for like every week for the last 6 years.
I told him it was the boys.
Amazed me. It was the boys. I can remember doing hits with you guys when I lived in New York City. Uh-huh. And it'd be like, hey, and I'm like, how are you not getting reception in New York City? I literally am in the same spot I'm always in. Mm-hmm. I could hear that too. I was like, maybe it's just me hearing it.
I think it was all of us. But no, what you were saying, Tim, and because so many teams, and I experienced this a while back when, you know, when Peyton Manning was just entering into his prime, and we had to go up against Indianapolis every year. It wasn't so much of how can we outscore Indianapolis, because we had a format of what we did. We ran the football, we played great defense, and, you know, we threw the ball, but it wasn't like Indianapolis did. But what the coaching staff did and Floyd Reese did, they went out and got defensive players. They went out and got Javon Curse, guys that can get to the passer quickly, so it negates some of the stuff that they're able to do from an offensive standpoint. That's why I asked the question, because some fans or people look at it, we need to build this offense. We need to build this offense to outscore this team. Well, yeah, that's great, but if you ain't got a defense to stop somebody, you're not outscoring Kansas City. You're not outscoring Cincinnati, teams like that that have these high-powered, you know, elite quarterbacks.
And that's why I think watching what the Chargers do, what the Los Angeles Chargers do, I think is going to be really interesting, because it feels to me So like that's a team like, nope, we're going to run the football. We're going to invest in defense in a big way. And that is how we are going to challenge these amazing AFC quarterbacks. Like that's what I feel like is going to happen. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, watch like that unfold.
With that being said, do you think, because Jim Harbaugh is probably one of few guys in this business that can sort of change how you think or what you think about offenses or football in general, just based upon what they're able to accomplish. Like Jim Harbaugh is a run first type of guy, and he's going to play great defense. Not that he's not going to throw the ball around the yard, but what he wants to do is maul you up and down the field from an offensive standpoint and then from a defensive standpoint. So if they're successful, do you think this may change the narrative just a little bit on, you know, you need this or this to be a successful team or a successful offense?
Yeah. Here's what I think. I think if you look at a team like the Cowboys, which is a good football team, but they found themselves playing at times with 210-pound linebackers. And because of that, and because they were playing with 210-pound linebackers, there were people that just ran the ball down their throat at times. And so, and then conversely, like you just look at, you know, Baltimore, so Jim Harbaugh's brother, like what have they done? Like they have had these big physical backs, a 295-pound fullback, big tight ends, and they've run the football, and then they've tried to play really good defense. And while they've, you know, not won a Super Bowl, you know, the past few years, like they've been a problem for people. So unless you have Patrick Mahomes, like, which only one team does, like your plan can't be like, hey, let's do it like they're doing it. Well, you don't have him. So I do think D-Mace, like, as everyone said, like, hey, we're going to spread it out. We're going to do this. Like, I think there are some teams that are like, no, like, here's what we're going to do. We're going to put a fullback in the backfield. We're going to put a big tight end. And, like, we're going back to 1970, and we are going to pound the ball.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, you know, I think the 49ers know what they're doing, and obviously they've got a little extra in the budget because of the unique situation of their quarterback. They've got a great quarterback who's not taking up a lot of cap space right now. But what did you make of the Christian McCaffrey reinvestment at this stage of his career? That's against the grain based on what most running backs get, but of course Christian McCaffrey is not an ordinary guy.
No, he's not ordinary, and I think that's a real difference, right? Like I think that's why like the guys that could catch 100 balls in a season, like they're running backs, yeah, but they're not, you know? And I think that's the difference. And I think with what they do on offense and just kind of like the versatility of a player that could line up as an X receiver, be a Z receiver, then he'd be a tailback and he can run, you know, power and inside zone and ISO and like he can do all of those things. So I think like that to me is why he's just a little bit different. I think Saquon Barkley is a guy that could be different as well. The difference is, Saquon's been injured, and you know, McCaffrey for the most part has been pretty much healthy throughout his career. So, you know, that's really where I think the you know, why he's an outlier and against the grain in terms of how he's been compensated.
You know what's interesting though about that is I look at Carolina and the mess that they have become, and they have been burned badly on some trades here, and they have not come away with much. And McCaffrey, you know, looking back, he did have 2 years with Carolina where the tag might have been, hey, look, he's struggling to stay healthy. Let's trade him. But they just didn't get much for him, right? But that is, looking back on it, man, they've got to be thinking, what were we thinking?
I also think, too, like, and this is where coaching matters and is a factor. It's you take a player like Isaiah Simmons, the really talented linebacker out of Clemson, and goes to Arizona. It just wasn't a fit. You know, just it wasn't working. Wasn't making plays. They weren't sure he was going to make the team. And the next thing you know, he goes to the Giants. And, you know, I think at the time it was Wink Martindale. Was like, oh, okay. Like, now we're finding some unique things to do with them. And so I think a similar thing for offensive players. Like, look, Wes Welker at one point was in Miami, and it was like, yeah, I don't know what we do with this guy. Like, yeah, he's okay. He might make the team. And he goes to New England, and
It's incredible, you know, what he does. He catches 110 balls a year. So, you know, I think that McCaffrey is one of those guys. Like, unless you really see his versatility and what he can do, yeah, like, you may end up just whiffing on the whole idea of what it means when you have a guy like Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, that was a whiff. But there's been more than one whiff for Carolina here. Circling, let's go to New York here, and every time I flip on Stephen A. Smith or you know, whatever talk show is on when we have the sound down while we're talking on the air, it is Aaron Rodgers not at mandatory minicamp. So what do you make of that? What's going on there?
Yeah, so I normally be like, whoa, okay, that's bad. I will say this. I feel like Aaron has been very committed this offseason to the Jets. I mean, he's been at basically every voluntary thing that they've had. And so had he not been around for any of that and then doesn't show up to the mandatory stuff, I'd think, okay, that's I would question that. I'd be concerned about that. But, you know, because he's been at all the stuff that he really hasn't had to be at, and then going back to last season after the Achilles injury, when a lot of guys would just say, hey, I'm going home, I'm out, like, he was there. He was in meetings. He was going to the games and stuff. So I think Aaron's actually been more committed than most people would have expected in year two with the Jets. And my guess is it was communicated the way that it was because Aaron's probably at an event that's maybe publicized. And so rather than saying, hey, he's not here for a personal matter, you're going to find out that he was whatever, you know, at some darkness retreat that somebody sees in that. And they're going to say, yeah, he was there, right? And so I think that's probably why, you know, Saleh has had to address it the way that he has.
I love Diana Rossini's report when she wrote, he prefers to be somewhere else away from football. Like, yeah, I'm sure a lot of those guys would prefer to be somewhere away from football, but, you know, woe is me. Tim Hasselbeck is with us. Tim, last one from me. We were discussing this yesterday. The safety market has been awfully quiet. Is the safety position becoming like the running back position, undervalued now that a lot of the money is tied up with not just the quarterback position, but now the wide receiver position?
See, I think for the right guy, no. Like Kyle Hamilton in Baltimore, such a unique player because of his versatility. Like, you know, we're talking about offenses, and, you know, still right now, everybody is trying in a passing league to spread the field out and do all that. But that safety needs to tackle too. So I actually think it's a valued position. I just think it's a really difficult position. And so until you can find the guy, because it's rare to find the guy that can cover man coverage, is a good, you know, open space half field or, you know, center of the field player. But then when he's one-on-one with space with a tailback, he can get him to the ground. He can cover a tight end. He can be versatile enough to play, you know, in dime or nickel packages. And so I just think it's a hard position. And I think rather than paying guys that are just okay, you know, it's people are waiting for the next Kyle Hamilton or Ed Reed or whoever it may be that is a really good, versatile player.
ESPN NFL analyst Tim Hasselbeck. Tim, appreciate you for stopping by today. Training camp going well this summer, I hope.
Well, good workouts going in. Nice. Actually, our workouts are working better than my phone is working today. So that's good.
Well, good to hear it. Tim, appreciate you. We'll catch up with you soon.
All right, see you guys.
Yeah. I appreciate it. Tim the Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. Do you want to react to what he had to say there? Plus, coming up next, I saw something that Derrick Henry said in a press conference in Baltimore, and I thought, ooh, some Titans fans out there are not going to take very kindly to this. But I don't think that you should feel that way. We'll react to that coming up next. Caroline Willie D. Mace, we are broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service.
Just having Lamar next to you, how much will that open opportunities for you? Obviously, he takes so much attention on the defense, but how much do you think that will create opportunities and lanes for you?
Yeah, you know, it definitely brings a different aspect because he's a dual threat quarterback, and he's dangerous with his legs, just as he is with his arm. And it's going to be fun and a breath of fresh air, not being the center of attention, knowing that eyes are going to be on him as well. I'm just excited to get to work and put the work in out here and let it all come together when it's that time.
That was Derrick Henry in a media availability following mandatory minicamp in Baltimore. So I initially saw this. It was a Pro Football Talk tweet, and it was just a picture of Derrick Henry, a link to an article, and the tweet said, Derrick Henry, colon, quote, it's a breath of fresh air not being the center of attention. And I thought, oh boy, mm-hmm. What's this? Because we know Derek's never the kind of guy to stir the pot.
No.
Derek is never going to be the guy that's trying to stick it to anybody else. But when I saw that, I thought, surely this is going to catch fire amongst Titans Twitter of, Derrick Henry is disrespecting the Titans. It's a breath of fresh air not being the center of attention in Baltimore. How dare he disrespect the Titans like that? But obviously, listening to the clip, like we know Derrick Henry well enough to know that he has zero ill will. And let me just say, like, I think there's a lot of truth to that. Like,
yeah.
With the Titans, it was stacked boxes. Mm-hmm. Everybody had an eye on 22. And if they didn't have an eye on 22, it was an eye on DeAndre Hopkins. And that was about it. I'm sure it's going to be nice for Derrick Henry to not be the center of attention in this Baltimore Ravens offense, that he's not the only focal point of an offense. Like, I don't blame him for feeling that way.
I think it's going to be a story throughout the NFL this year, especially if the Ravens are successful. I think it will be something that we watch very closely. So this is probably why Derrick Henry chose to go to Baltimore, is he could be, and he was willing to go to the next stage of his career in a different market to be a little bit more of a complimentary piece on a championship team, as opposed to the guy that every time, even as he aged, it was, you're playing the Titans? All right, let's start our game plan. Where do we start?
Derrick Henry.
How do we deal with number 22? There was nothing at all untrue about what he said there.
Yeah.
I don't think he lied one bit. I think it was the truth. He wasn't trying to, you know, smear the Titans or trying to, you know, throw jabs or anything else. But what he was saying is the truth. Like, and he wasn't saying it so much. It wasn't for the Titans. He wasn't saying it, you know, directing it at the Titans. He was saying, listen, it's good to potentially walk into a game and defense is not being keyed on stopping you and you only. It's not a dig. Okay. It sort of is kind of
the Titans have to be involved in this conversation.
It is a dig a little bit. Just a little bit, but I don't think Derrick Henry meant for it to be a dig.
Yeah.
In other words,
it's like, now I get to go in with a quarterback that is all world, a tight end that is all world, got receivers out here that is going to be balling.
Uh-huh.
Man, this offense look like it's like, this is the first time I can be in an offense where it's not me, like the defense is gearing up to stop me. Even though he's going to find out very quickly, they still going to be geared up to stop him. But
he's
But I understand the premise of what he was saying. Walking into a game, knowing that you are not the top of the list of guys they need to stop. You're going to be on that list, but I guarantee you the first person on that list is Lamar Jackson.
Right.
He's the first person on that list. And then it may be Derrick Henry, or then it may be, you know, Andrews to tight ends or Zay Flowers. But he's not the one guy that the whole defense is looking at to stop. That is a breath of fresh air for him, because now he gets to go in and, like, now I don't have to run against 8 or 9 man boxes all the time. You know, they got to respect the quarterback running it and the quarterback throwing it. But it is a little dig at the
not
Titans.
An intentional is it, dig?
Is not the, an intentional
is
dig.
Is the unintentional dig
exactly
that they didn't put a better overall product around him? Mm-hmm. At least, because I do see, like, we remember, and it may not even been their best overall team because the defense wasn't good. But that offense, the one year, I think it was 2020, when they had the peak of efficiency of Henry,
Brown,
and then Brown and Corey Davis. And Jonnu Smith, that last year, I think it was 2020, because the next year I think was the Julio Jones, which, you know, that didn't go quite as well, even though Derrick Henry was great. But the stats of that offense were – that was top 10.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you saw what it looked like when they had some semblance of threats
mm-hmm. on the outside
to help him. That was a really darn good offense. And Ryan Tannehill, his numbers were lights out because he could run a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious now at this stage of his career, how do they use him? How often do they give him the ball? Because they have other running backs too. It's yep. not like they have just one guy and a bunch of no-names. They've got some guys who are pretty decent complimentary running backs. So what's the amount of carries he gets? I'm really intrigued with that. I'm sure when all the fantasy football talk gets going here in a few weeks and all the draft preparations start, that is going to be a huge question for fantasy owners is where do you draft Derrick Henry?
Don't
who
draft
is left
him.
Over? Gus don't, Edwards is gone, correct?
Yeah, Gus Edwards is gone. The kid from
they
Ohio
have a kid
State
that blew out
gone.
His knee last year that'll be back.
Keontae Mitchell? That's his name, I believe. Keontae Mitchell, number 34.
Yes. So.
But they've lost some offensive linemen. Now, they've had to replace, I think, two or three offensive linemen. But what he's going to – they didn't get Derrick Henry. I don't really care about his carries during the year. They didn't get Derrick Henry for the regular season. Let me repeat this. They didn't get Derrick Henry for the regular season. His numbers, they don't care. As long as he doesn't get hurt and he still resembles the Derrick Henry that we've been seeing. Not to say he's going to rush for 2,000 yards, but if Derrick Henry rushes for 1,100 yards, 1,200 yards, they're good with that. Even if he rushes for 900 yards and, you know, they're like, because they're going to do the two-back thing and then the quarterback's going to run.
Yeah.
Even if Derrick Henry gets a 900 yards, averages 4.2 yards a carry and has 8, 9, 10 touchdowns, they didn't get him for the regular season. They got him for the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we were talking to. That's why I asked the question with Tim. Baltimore knows now we don't want to try to outscore Kansas City. That's not what we're trying to do. We're not trying to outscore the Chargers. What we want to do is slow the game down and force them to play the type of ball that we want to play in the playoffs. We're going to run it down your throat. I'm telling you what John Harbaugh is thinking right now. We got him to run down your throat when we get in the playoffs. We're going to slow the game down, force you to tackle this big guy, and when you try to tackle him over and over again, we're going to play action, and we're going to hit Andrews or Zay Flowers down the field or one of these other receivers. They got Derrick Henry for the playoffs. This has nothing to do for the regular season. He's going to excel in the regular season, I believe, because he's going to stay healthy. But they got him solely for the playoffs.
So these are the other guys they have. It's interesting, right? They're not household names. Keaton Mitchell, who played only 8 games last year, but averaged, you know, he had 396 yards, very good success rate, 68%. Why can't I find yards per carry all of a sudden? But that's it's a pretty good numbers in a small sample size. And Justice Hill, who
he's pretty good. I like Justice Hill.
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
So like they can, like you said, they can maybe they have the luxury of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you have to win, then you have to maybe change your thinking. But you know, they could definitely mm-hmm. use Derrick Henry sparingly if they want. And hold him back, and then, you know, in January, February, you're trying to make a run, then you lean on him a little bit.
It's also a dangerous game.
But that's a different,
we know
that's
that
a different role for Derrick Henry, though. Very different.
It's a
right?
very different role. And we know that Derrick Henry gets better the more he's used. He gets better later in the season. He gets better on carry 15, 16, 17 versus carry 2, 3, 4. So it is going to be – he's going to be used differently, but I do wonder and I'm intrigued to see how Derrick Henry kind of responds to that. I'm not being the bell cow. I mean, I'm sure it's a breath of fresh air to know that he's not going to be the focal point of the defenses.
So Hill, 4.6 yards per carry. Sounds pretty good to me. And then 5.9 yards per carry for – no, yes. More than that. What's 47 carries for 390? 8.4?
Yeah,
that's correct. 8.4.
Yeah. That's Keaton Mitchell. So, geez,
they had a good collection of versatile backs. Like each back did something very well.
That's what happens when you have Lamar, right?
Exactly. Absolutely. That's the Lamar effect, and the Lamar effect is going to. Derrick Henry is going to feel the Lamar effect. He's going to feel it more so, I believe, in the playoffs. If indeed they do get in the playoffs, that's where. You know, you're going to start to lean on Derrick Henry in the playoffs or toward latter part of the season. You're going to start to lean on him more and more. Why? Because you want to slow the game out, slow the game up, and you want to beat up on people. You want to lean on people. You want to lean on Kansas City. Why do you think Jim Harbaugh is sort of constructing this team the way he is? Why did he go out and get Joe Ault when he already had a left tackle? You know, he's trying to solidify that offensive line. Why? Because he want to play a different brand of football. He want to play a brand of football that's going to bully you in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Not necessarily during the season. They're going to throw the ball around the yard during the season. He's going to run it. But come playoff time, when it's cold, y'all beat up from 17 games in the season, that's when they want to lean on you. That's when Derrick Henry starts getting the 20, 25, 30 carries per game in the playoffs. Now we can slow the team down. Now we keep Patrick Mahomes on the bench for, you know, 12, 15 plays. He's not on the field as much as he was, you know, maybe in previous years when you played him. Yeah, just grind the clock out. Had they had that type of back last year in the playoffs, that game was close anyway against Kansas City, they would have been able to slow that game down even more and kept Patrick Mahomes on the bench.
And Lamar kind of pooped his pants a little bit whenever he needed to make big throws in big moments.
He did, but I mean,
so
even
to take
with that
pressure off,
he's
going to
have that
not
later.
Have to throw the ball around.
That
the
will
yard.
Be a big plot line whenever they, you know, if we assume they'll make the playoffs.
Yeah,
that's the lead story, right? Exactly. Will Lamar Jackson be able to play great in the playoffs? But one thing that is really interesting about the Derrick Henry part of this to me is the Ravens, regardless of who the names are, and we mentioned who the other guys are, you've got Keaton Mitchell is the guy that tore his ACL and is coming back. I don't know what he's going to look like at the beginning of the season. Mm-hmm. But they have a good running game. Mm-hmm. They have had an effective running, especially when you consider that Lamar Jackson is part of the running game, and he's the guy that routinely rushes for 1,000 yards as a quarterback. That's a really effective running game. And now you put a great running back with that team, I'm really intrigued. And it's going to break people's hearts here, right, if he's a good match there, right? It's going to be hard to watch him in a Ravens uniform running up and down because we've seen it before.
Yeah.
When D-Mace was wearing the purple jersey. And Samari Roll was running around there. And Steve McNair, when they were winning games, like, just twist the knife a little bit.
Because whenever the Titans made the decision to move on from Derek, I do think a majority of the fan base, not the entire fan base, but I think the majority of the fan base thought, Derek, thanks for everything that you've done. We know that it's time to move on. We wish you nothing but the best. But it's going to be different if Derek Henry pops off in Baltimore. He might not feel that way anymore. It might be, the Titans, you idiots.
Oh, it will happen because it's just human nature.
Yeah. Right.
But I'm telling you right now on June, whatever this is, June 12th, that I'm standing by, that this was the right time to get off the ride for better or worse.
And I saw this.
They had to move on.
I saw this clip on 33rdteam.com, which is a bunch of like former NFL GMs, former players. They all kind of give their, it's just like another news site, football news site. There was a video and the headline was why Derrick Henry will lead the NFL in rushing. I didn't even watch it because I was like, wow. I don't know about all that.
I'm not going to say he's going to lead the NFL in rushing.
When you've got Lamar Jackson running the rock too.
Yeah, it's just, I think people just assume because Lamar Jackson's in the backfield, because he's, you know, truly developed as a passer. Now, he's had his games where he needs to step up and play better. We all know that. But he has developed into a damn good passer. Even with that, you saw it, people think all of a sudden, like, he's going to have a great season because he has Lamar, and Lamar sort of takes on that running role as well. Well, it doesn't always work that way. I mean, you got to be able to mesh within what the offense is doing. And news flash to Derrick Henry, they're still going to pay attention to you. They'd be a fool not to pay attention to him. I'm going to pay attention to him for this reason. Yeah, let Lamar run the football. Let him run it. Because if I hit him enough times, he's going to get hurt. I can't hit you enough times. I'm going to get hurt if I hit you enough times. So we're still going to focus on you and make Lamar run because we get a good shot at him, a good shot on him. Eventually, it's going to wear him down as a quarterback.
We'll continue the conversation coming up next. The Savannah Bananas are coming to Nashville, and you can meet the team's players and coaches, plus win tickets to their sold-out games this weekend. It's Willie's favorite team. You can join Chase McCabe and Big Joe this Friday from 9 to 11 a.m. at the Duncan and Cool Springs at 500 Cool Springs Boulevard for more details. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, we are brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Indy Ben weighed in on the text line. Our dear friend, Ben in Indianapolis. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com. Says Tennessee has too many questions on defense. Pass rush, linebacker, free safety, and the health of Snead are all reasons to be skeptical. I do think the communication will be better, which should help some. Look at Indy Ben coming out with a nice thing to say about the Titans. But I will say this, because I poke fun at Indy Ben all the time. I don't disagree. Like, I don't disagree with, you know, inside linebacker, you know, I don't know how that position's going to shake out. Safety, we talked about this yesterday. I expect the Titans to get in on the free agent safety market, but they haven't yet. Pass rush was on my list of things that we started the show with of concern, optimistic, not going to be concerned until training camp. Like, I do have questions about the pass rush. So as much as I make fun of Indy Ben and I poke fun at Indy Ben, I don't disagree with some of those areas of concern for the defense.
Well, I mean, they should be areas of concern. The linebacker position should be areas of concern because, you know, they don't have much depth at that position, or outside of Harold Landry, they don't have much production at that position on the roster as it sits right now. So that should be a point of concern, more so the inside backers than you know, Harold Landry, you know, and the outside backers. So it should be a concern. So, you know, along with, you know, secondary for me, because of the depth, not necessarily the three top line guys. I'm not talking about those three guys. I'm talking about the depth of that team in the secondary department, because we know that the teams that they're going to have to face, you know, even within division, they have some damn good receivers. So your secondary has to be able to hold up. They have to stay healthy, because if they don't stay healthy, then you're talking about chinks in armor right there.
Yeah.
Because your depth is not built up yet. So that's probably, I mean, so there's always going to be positions of concern with the Titans, at least this year. You hope that as the season goes on, they can sort of, you know, solidify or build up their depth moving forward.
And no doubt at the top, at the cornerback position, they've upgraded.
Yeah, they've
They're upgraded. Better at that position.
Definitely they are. It's just the, you know, the back end. And it's like, I mean, every team isn't littered with, you know, depth across every position. You got to pick and choose. But the Titans, because of things not working out in prior drafts, you know, they found themselves in a position where their depth is one of the major problems.
So we've got game three of the NBA Finals tonight, and I think Dallas needs to win, obviously, for Dallas to still stay in this series, because if Dallas falls 3-0, the series is over. I also think for the NBA's sake that this series needs to be a little bit more interesting than it is. Like, a series extending to 3-0, I think you're going to have a lot of the casual fans. I would probably put myself in a casual NBA fan category. I'm going to start checking out. Like, I think the NBA obviously wants it to go to 7 games for the TV contract, but just the overall interest and buy-in from the fans.
You know, another thing I thought about in watching the way they have spread out the games in the NBA and NHL finals, I think, and I know player rest is important here, but it really seems drawn out. Do you get a little fatigued, especially the casual fans, like the hardcore fans, the big sports fans? They're going to watch no matter what. But I feel like you might lose some people who are just sort of mentally checked out. It's gone on too long. They moved on to something else. The Mavericks are actually favored tonight, which I'm a little surprised to see. -2.5 on ESPN.
Porzingis may not play, so that's probably
that's
reason.
A fact. And I guess
he's got that funky injury.
The big thing is, are Kyrie and Luka going to get a little more help from the other guys hitting the open shot? It was like, got to the point where they were just letting the other guys, Washington and those guys, just shoot as much as you want. You're not going to make them. At home, where you feel more comfortable, Will that be different? It's got to be if Dallas is going to have a chance.
Well, will it be different? I don't know. If I had to guess, no.
No?
Yeah, I think not it even will at home. Be. But I like the way they've spread this out because if it goes quickly, sports is over with.
That's true.
So there you go.
We are in the Sahara.
Exactly.
Until training camp. That is going to do it for us today. We'll be back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Stillman & Company is up next.
Be love and loving your people. Happy Wednesday and peace.